Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the Food Guys. Well, we're going to initiate a new kind of program here, Greg. We've been talking about it. We call it, just jokingly, of course, Dear Flabby. it's sort of in that line, you know. But because, you know, occasionally we get these curious letters. Now, here we have one here from Culinary Jane of Deadwood. And she writes, my husband just won't listen. I ask him to buy some thyme, some cumin seed, etc., and he goes to the local supermarket, and he buys these bottled spices, and he knows. I mean, he should get some from the natural food store in bulk, you know, because it's fresher, cheaper, it's better.
Well, she's right.
What do you think, Greg?
I think she's right, and I think that anytime you buy spices, you know, you go to you get these overpriced small jars.
Oh yeah.
By these major companies, they look very pretty.
Yeah.
In the spice jars,
they're all on a rack.
Yeah, but you're spending like $5-6 for a small amount of something.
Yeah.
And we have no idea how long it's been in those jars.
You have no idea.
And it's true that when you dry spices, they retain their spices and herbs, they retain their pungency for a long time. But you're much better off if you can go to a store and you buy them in bulk. And when I say bulk, I'm not saying you should buy a pound of something, but you're going to buy a couple of ounces and then store it airtight and then use it up, say, within 3 months. I think that's a safe amount of time to use up any of these spices that you might be able to buy and still have full pungency. I also find, John, like if I'm buying thyme or oregano, I want a Mediterranean oregano.
Yeah, and I like different kinds of oregano.
And I want the whole thyme. Okay, you know? I want the thyme leaf. I do not, and I don't want the ground oregano. I want the whole oregano.
Yeah,
and then
right.
I can crumble up.
Sure.
What I want, and then if I have to measure something, then I can measure it that way.
Probably doesn't make too much difference if the spice is ground, you know, in terms of whether it's going to be fresh or not.
Well, because we have no idea how long it's been sitting in the
right,
jar.
You really
I think when you're buying in bulk, you're not going to buy something ground unless it's like cinnamon, for example, and allspice, and they retain pungency for a long time. I mean, real diehard cooks will have spice grinders, and they'll take, you know, cinnamon sticks, and they'll grind them up fresh each time. I tend not to do that. I just buy small quantities of ground cinnamon, and you have all kinds of opportunities to buy, like, Vietnamese cinnamon or Ceylon cinnamon. And then you might have questions, well, what's the difference? And what you should do is just go online. I direct people online to look up basic information like that because it's okay.
Mm-hmm. So now here we have an interesting question from Jezebel Jones, and she wants to know, can a jar of spaghetti sauce actually be any good?
Yes.
Could it? I don't think so. Spaghetti sauce? I mean,
it
couldn't you just...
Well, you have to read the label.
Well, you know, what if you just have a can of tomatoes, canned tomatoes,
uh-huh.
All right, and some herbs that you already have?
That's fine. But make sure that your can of tomatoes doesn't have sugar.
That's right. You always got to read labels, and that brings up the crucial question of the pollen rule.
Yes,
which
Michael
is,
Pollan says if there's more than 5 ingredients listed, don't buy it.
Yeah, he might be. There could be a little leeway there. You know, 6 ingredients.
But what you want in a can of tomatoes is tomatoes and juice.
That's it. Well, you know, if you're getting
there's no reason
sauce.
To even have any salt in there. I mean, you can add your own salt.
Well, of course, but you know that salt is—it's very rare that you can actually find something that's unsalted. You know, you agree? But sugar—they got in the habit of doing sugar. I think some of the manufacturers are now kind of withdrawing from that notion because
they are.
There's been a little
But you still have to be vigilant. But you have to be vigilant and read the label. And if we can go back just for a minute about a jarred pasta sauce, for example.
Yes.
It shouldn't have more than five ingredients in it. If there are more than five ingredients, then don't buy it.
That is really my suggestion. I think that's a, you know, a basic good rule. But what about, you know, the other things that would go into a spaghetti sauce? Is there anything else?
Well, you could put some tomato paste.
Well, just some tomato paste.
Canned tomatoes, tomato paste. You could have some oregano. If it just says dried herbs or herbs, I would like to know what they are. But as long as it's less than five or fewer ingredients, I would say, okay, no sugar and preferably no salt, because that way you could just season it yourself. And get the tomatoes that are packed in their own juice.
That's the very best idea. And see, now that is the edict from Dear Flabby. So you tune in next time for another version of The Food Guys. Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the Food guys. Well, actually, we're the Dear Flabby guys today. And this is another one of those Dear Flabby shows. Bathsheba Barnes writes us from, I don't want to reveal where she's writing from. No, she's asking about flour and leavening. You know, she goes in a store and she says, here's a huge, this is what she's writing here. She says, there's this huge long aisle and there's all this flour.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I buy one flour other than another flour? Why is there so much flour?
Well, it depends on what you want to bake. The typical flours that you see mostly are called all-purpose flours.
All-purpose flour.
And what that means, it's a blend of hard wheat and soft wheat to reach a happy medium so that if you're making some kinds of bread and most cakes and muffins and pastries,
cookies,
anything that says all-purpose should fill your bill.
Yeah.
Now, typically, all-purpose originally meant bleached.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, because unbleached, unbleached came along much later.
What was the bleaching about?
Bleaching is about keeping the flour white.
Oh, yes, because flour is supposed to be white.
And it's typically done with a peroxide.
It's done with peroxide?
Yeah, but don't be concerned about this because it's such low levels, it's not going to affect your health, okay?
Okay, all right.
And but there's also all-purpose unbleached.
Yes.
Now,
I've noticed that.
My rule of thumb is if I see all-purpose flour, I assume it's bleached unless it says unbleached.
Right. That's my plan.
And unbleached all-purpose flour tends to be a bit higher in gluten content than the bleached.
Oh.
So if you're going to be using your flour mostly for like muffins and cakes and that sort of thing, I would use the bleached.
Mm-hmm.
There's also something called cake flour.
Yes. Now, what's the difference?
And that's very soft wheat, much softer
uh-huh.
than the all-purpose bleached.
Is it milled very fine, too?
No, not necessarily fine mill. It's just got lower gluten content.
I see.
And cake flour, it should always be bleached. Mm-hmm. And typically it's done with chlorine gas. And I know this scares people away, saying, I don't want to be taking chlorine into my system and all that.
No.
First of all, how often are you going to be making a cake with cake flour? And the chlorine is always baked off during baking, and it also evaporates off even before it's even put into the bag. The whole point of the chlorine is it actually changes the structure of the flour so that it behaves properly. And when I say properly, the way it's meant to when you make a cake, and you want very little gluten development. You need some, certainly, for the structure.
A little bit.
But cake, if a recipe calls for cake flour, you better use cake flour, or you are ensuring that you will fail. So don't do that.
Huh.
And do not ever buy something called unbleached cake flour. That is a phony product, and it's not going to work.
It's not going to work, huh?
No, because it's got regular flour with cornstarch mixed into it. And cornstarch has nothing to do with wheat flour.
Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, so...
It's corn.
So, and cake flour typically comes in boxes, two-pound boxes. There's Soft-to-Silk, and then there's another brand. Swan's Down.
Yeah.
I find mostly Soft-to-Silk. I never even find Swan's Down around here. But anyway, this is a product that was developed in the late 1800s, and it was absolutely fail-safe for making these light textured layer cakes, which were all the rage, became all the rage near the end of the 1800s.
What about all these other flours?
There's bread flour.
Well, you know, things like potato flour and soy flour and coconut flour. And
they all have their uses, and especially if one is going to be gluten-free, then you can't use a wheat flour. You have to use a substitute.
It should tell you on the packaging, shouldn't it, that it's gluten-free?
Well, if coconut flour should
what about
be gluten,
coconut?
You know,
yeah,
it'll
yeah,
be
coconut
gluten-free.
Flour is...
tapioca flour or tapioca starch is going to be, you know, gluten-free. And if you have to be gluten-free, then you can't use a wheat flour. You have mm-hmm. to just find another substitute. And there are many substitutes. There are packaged substitutes. Like Bob's Red Mill has a gluten-free mix.
Uh-huh.
Now, but you have to read what's in the mix, because what if you might be allergic to, say, something in the mix? What if there's soy flour in the mix? Then you can't do soy as well as gluten. You have to pay attention to that. You have to read labels.
Some of these things are, you can substitute in, you know, to a certain degree in with other flours. If you want.
You can. But in terms of wheat flour, if you're going to be making bread, then you should be using bread flour, because that has a much higher gluten content. King Arthur flour, for example, has a 10.5% gluten content for their all-purpose unbleached.
Uh-huh.
But their bread flour, their unbleached bread flour, is 12.7% gluten.
Well, you know,
protein. And then there's, if you're going to be doing bagels, you want something even higher than that, and that there's, you can get a 14% protein,
you know,
content.
I think we've answered Bathsheba's question.
I would hope so.
And if we haven't answered yours, come back next week for
the food guys.